Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great having David Noble in the house here. David Noble, a lawyer, the Manhattan, Montana kid, and University of Miami, right? And then University of Montana Law School. But he's a Montana Talks guest host. So he's also been helping to show Congressman Denny Rehberg a little bit of the ropes here during the breaks as well. But kind of fun to talk about the show and how fun it is to do a show like this. Oh, talk to people. Actually, oh, yeah, go ahead.
We actually have a connection. We were talking about the Mountain States Legal Foundation, and I hope to get a guest on when I'm hosting it in a couple of weeks from the Mountain States to talk about some of the things they're doing. So,
are you on the board for them?
I'm on the Litigation Advisory Council, which is not the board, but it's just an advisory council for the organization. We suggest issues that they could litigate or things like that. I was listening to your conversation with Congressman Rehberg here on the way in, and you said something that really stuck with me because I finished reading Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago recently, and you said that you refuse to use pronouns that are inconsistent with the biological, because that would be a lie. Right?
Yeah.
And Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Was that good that I said
yes,
that?
Yes. One of the main things that was going on in the Soviet Union is that everything was a lie. From the smallest things in society to the biggest things in society, everything was a lie. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn had a couple of quotes. I think this applies directly to what you just said earlier. You can resolve to live your life with integrity. Let your credo be this. Let the lie come into the world. Let it even triumph, but not through me.
Yeah, it's interesting that if we just, okay, hey, let's just be nice. Let's just go along with the lie. This guy, you know, wants to pretend to be a woman. Let's just call him a her. Yeah, but once we start allowing these lies, the little lies lead to bigger lies. And if you can't be trusted with smaller things, why would you be trusted with bigger things? But these aren't just little lies, right? I'm sure there's a good Little Lies song we could play right now. But these aren't just little lies. Like, you've got men trying to go into women's bathrooms. You've got men trying to take away girls' sports opportunities. And so these little lies where you think you're just being nice and going along with the game here lead to your daughters and your granddaughters losing out on opportunities.
And look what happens when you don't lie. Mike Johnson said, no, we have men and women's bathrooms, and men will use men's rooms and women will use women's rooms. And the Congress person said, okay, I'll use the correct bathroom, and that resolved it.
Yeah.
So telling the truth resolves things a lot of the times.
Yeah, and quickly resolves things oftentimes. But David, with you being a lawyer, and then, of course, Jan Rehberg's a lawyer as well, there was at the Montana Family Foundation banquet several years ago, the Solicitor General for the state of Montana at the time spoke, and he raised that point. He's like, how do I, as a lawyer, I am sworn to tell the truth. I am supposed to tell the truth. I can't lie as a lawyer. So how does that work with, you know, calling a he, a she in legal documents? Like they're literally telling lawyers you're supposed to lie.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I mean, that's candor to the tribunal. If I were to go to a court and I was to tell a court, hey, this human being is a male or a female, if that's false, that is a candor to the tribunal ethical issue.
See, David can not only hear the music, but he sees the clock as well. So you see that, Denny? 12 seconds, 10 seconds until the break here. And then we got news and weather coming up here in the break.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Republicans will have a narrow majority in the House when the new Congress convenes in January. When all is said and done, campaigns will have exhausted several $1 billion on House races. And the results likely the same as where things stand now. A Republican majority within a seat of two of the present breakdown in the current Congress. With a tight margin, within a handful of votes, Republicans can only lose a few on their side before needing help from the Democrats to pass bills. This is precisely the same problem which bedeviled the Republican majority for the past 2 years. It's a problem to pass anything with more than a few defectors, or if one or two Republicans are absent. For Republicans, a solid victory by President-elect Trump will likely impose party discipline for many of his legislative initiatives. But what happens when the GOP tries to advance tax reform and budget hawks balk because it explodes the deficit? Or if New York Republicans demand a restoration of the state and local tax reduction known as SALT? Republicans have 53 votes in the Senate, but that's a far cry from 60 votes needed to break a filibuster. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, looking at high temperature readings in the upper 40s around 50. For tonight, clouds and an isolated shower chance still in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, low temperatures ranging from the upper 20s to the mid-30s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
The Department of Homeland Security now confirming that the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua, TDA, is now confirmed to have a presence in Montana. Of course, if you've been listening to Montana Talk since day one, you would know exactly what has been happening with our southern border and this invasion taking place, especially in the last 3.5 years. Montana Talks, it's the show where you get to talk and we cover the big issues. Statewide, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, Travis nailed it. He knew exactly what song I was trying to remember there. That's why we call him Trivia Travis. The guy is just like a walking encyclopedia. If I'm in here like, who is that guy who, ding, there's the message right there. David, man, we got a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about. The Trump W of the week. Do you have a Trump W of the week? The Trump win of the week?
I would say the best Trump W that I saw this week was when a reporter went up to Donald Trump and said, hey, are you reconsidering Matt Gaetz? And he said, nope.
And wasn't he on the golf course or something? And he had the clubs in hand. Nope. And just kept walking. I think my nomination for the Trump W of the week let CNN tell us about this one. Jesse Waters on his program last night talked about how, you know, even the media is ready for Joe Biden to head to the exits. This was a CNN anchor describing what Donald Trump's been up to and what Joe Biden has been up to.
Increasingly clear, it is Donald Trump's world, and we're just living in it. The most powerful rocket ever built blasting off from Texas yesterday, with its creator, Elon Musk, looking on with the president-elect of the United States. All of this as President Biden prepares to step off the world stage. Here he was in Brazil earlier this week, the first sitting president to visit the Amazon, seeming to wander into the jungle.
Seeming to wander into the jungle. But the powerful imagery of Donald Trump and Elon Musk sitting there along with a four-star Space Force general watching this rocket take off, I thought that was like a W of the week as well. Just the powerful imagery of like, wow, America is about to come roaring back here, people.
That's huge. And Donald Trump has asked Elon Musk, hey, can any country on Earth do what you can do? He says, nope. Can any company on Earth do what SpaceX? Nope. But yeah, to see, I agree. That was awesome to see. And you know what's funny? I actually got to witness the very last launch of the space shuttle because I was down in Miami in 2010 to 2013. And that was when they did one of the last launches on the space shuttle. So I've been to see a launch down there in Florida.
Wow.
And I've been to the Amazon. So I've been to both places where Biden and Trump.
Yeah, I saw that news that Joe Biden's the first ever president to visit the Amazon rainforest. It's like, wow, that's brave. It's like real rough duty there.
First white guy president to, you know, don't you have to include that if you're a Democrat? You got to include first race and sex.
Got to have race and sex a part of everything. That was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Is that who that quote came from that you shared earlier?
Yeah, and there's a couple other quotes, too, that are right in line with it that are so good. Listen to this one. One man who stopped lying could bring down a tyranny. The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in a lie. And that's what Alexander Solzhenitsyn's entire premise behind Gulag Archipelago, because you're in the Gulag. This is one of the most egregious human rights abuses and prisons on planet Earth throughout all of human history. And he's sitting there trying to process it and trying to think about what, and what he came up with was simply don't tell a lie. And that, and you're good.
And that's what the Soviets, that's what the communists wanted you to do. They wanted you to just start accepting all of these lies, all of these sweet little lies. By the way, you guys know the song I'm thinking about, right? Fleetwood Mac, here you go. Got to throw in a little 1980s throwback here every now and then, you know, because it's kind of like the 80s again, where I'm sure this is how people felt in the Reagan 80s. It was like, okay, America's coming back. America's coming back. Just wait for it.
Oh, I've heard from so many people that are saying the energy out there is just off the charts. People are relieved. People are excited. I haven't felt like this in, I don't know, since the early 2000s or something like that. I mean, I'm very optimistic as well. I'm hearing from everybody that they're excited, they're optimistic, they're happy, they're relieved, everything.
Great. Are you like me where, like, I'm at the gym and I have ladies at the gym come over and say, God bless you, thanks for what you do on the radio. Wasn't Tuesday a great day after the election? People at church, oh, man, isn't this incredible? Wow, wow, we've got a, you know, we've got a second chance as Americans here. And so it's like everywhere you go, you have it. Danny, you probably get the same thing. Do you get the same thing?
I do, but I just want to caution everybody. I was in Washington, D.C. during Ronald Reagan's era working, and I got to know him and all of his administration, and he was on a high at the beginning, and then the bureaucrats kicked in, and they hated him.
The swamp,
and,
the deep state.
The swamp started working
the
him
fake
over.
News media.
And the fake news media, and by the end of his tenure, he was very unpopular, and now he's a hero. Look at history, looking back, and I guarantee Trump is on a high right now. It will end. The bureaucrats will kick into gear. The mainstream media, thank God we have social media and people like yourself, Aaron, and Bongino and other people out there giving the other side. But I've been through this, and we have to be very careful because
that's right.
It's very easy for the bad guys to take over again and start controlling things. We got to stick with Trump on this. It's going to be tough. So is Matt Gaetz going to be the guy? Don't know. Trump supports him, likes him. Let's give him a chance. We'll see how it all works out.
So, Danny, as you can see, we got a flashing red light over there. So our producer will see if we got somebody on the phone lines to join us after the next break. David Noble, what Danny Reber just said there about, you know, looking back now, Ronald Reagan's a hero. But he was in the fight for his presidency when he was president. Isn't that just such a good thing to remind everybody out there, is that, like, you're going to be in the middle of the fight of your life, and you're not going to feel like a hero. But these American heroes, they probably didn't feel like they were going to be treated like heroes at some point. They were just in the fight of their lives at the time, and they just fought through it.
I really needed to hear that from Danny Reberg, because I'm one of those guys that, you know, thought that, oh, we won. You know, we defeated wokeism. The war's over, guys. We won. Yeah, no, that's not the case.
There will be no war to end all wars. Whether it's literal war, whether it's political wars, you name it. A good reminder. All right, we'll be back right after the Farm and Ranch Report here with Montana Talks. Taking your phone calls and more, 294-0970. David Noble in the house.
This is House Call for Health. A turning point in hurricane recovery as Health Secretary Javier Becerra tours a damaged factory that makes critical hospital supplies. Federal officials say Hurricane Helene was not only deadly, but also notably disruptive to the country's healthcare system. In North Cove, North Carolina, the storm severely disrupted Baxter Healthcare's main factory, where 60% of the country's IV fluids are made. After weeks of delays, the company's operations are back online. Officials call the factory crucial to keeping America's hospitals running, and while things are now returning to normal, some medical facilities are preparing for shortages and warning of possible service disruptions. The administration responding by invoking the Defense Production Act to streamline manufacturing and delivery processes and set up a series of resupply flights aiming to get hospital inventories back to normal by the end of this year. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, looking at high temperature readings in the upper 40s around 50. For tonight, clouds and an isolated shower chance still in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, low temperatures ranging from the upper 20s to the mid-30s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, so you heard me mention the news that this violent Venezuelan gang, this gang of illegal aliens from Venezuela, is now confirmed to be operating here in Montana. I've got the full details. Go to MontanaTalks.com. It includes the New York Post report and much more. Plus, if you download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, I spoke with a former advisor to the Secretary of Homeland Security, and he gave us some great insight on Tren de Aragua as well. So download the Montana Talks app for audio.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Well, I know it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but it is Christmas tree harvesting time across the nation for Christmas tree farmers. And for Tom Norby, president of the Oregon Christmas Tree Growers Association, who sends trees across the West, and he says Christmas tree harvest is in full swing.
We're deep in the heart of it. Lots of trucks are rolling this week, especially to the East Coast and the eastern half of the United States. Those ones go out first because it's a little longer trip.
Norby says Christmas tree prices are up a little from last year, but competition is limiting the increase for consumers. He added that local growers started harvesting in September for international markets due to concerns over potential port closures earlier this year. When it comes to what customers are looking for, Norby says Nordman firs, originally from Turkey, are growing well in the Beaver State and becoming popular across the country.
They don't have quite the smell, but they certainly last every bit as long as a noble fir does. And they don't tend to shed their needles, just like a noble fir. Maybe a little bit, they're a little bit better on that respect.
So many farm-raised Christmas trees do go to support very good causes in local communities. So make sure and support those local community fundraisers. Or if you are planning to cut a Christmas tree on national forest land, make sure and get your Christmas tree permit for $5 at recreation.gov. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, there you go. We got former Montana Congressman Denny Reberg running the phone lines for us here. So, yeah, he double-tapped it yellow. So
and we got one of my favorite callers on the line.
And one of your favorite callers on the phone line. So Denny, as you can see, you double-tapped the phone line. Pow, pow. It's solid yellow. And so then now, why don't you just press the button and there we go.
Tim
and Billings on the phone lines. What's going on, Tim?
Good morning, gentlemen. So I'm not quite as optimistic as David because I want to think that unlike Newton's first law of physics, where for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, when it comes to politics, there's an opposite and escalated reaction. And since conservatives have just had such a resounding victory, the liberals, the leftists, they're going to escalate, and they've already done so because here we go marching into World War III. And I just happen to think that as a conservative, as a libertarian-leaning conservative, as a person that kind of thinks of myself as middle of the road, the life of a conservative is much like the life of a Christian, where you're going to be persecuted and you're going to have a hard life if you live that life, because to get everybody to agree, you would have a homogenized society where everybody is the same. And the conservative values, the highest ideal of conservatism is individual liberty and responsibility, which is completely opposite of what the liberals want, where they want everybody to do, think, and act the same.
And be dependent on the government and give out your money to other people, and they're always going to want to hand out free stuff. That's a very good point. Kind of on that front, David, yeah, I think that's exactly why when Tim Sheehy, the senator-elect, was here in studio a couple of days ago after he spoke to the Montana Farm Bureau, that's exactly why, to Tim's point, why he's saying that we need to strap rocket boosters on the America First agenda, because, look, yeah, the midterm elections, typically they go against the party in power. And so you've got the next 2 years to get as much done as possible, frankly.
Well, really, isn't that why it's all about the first 100 days?
Yeah, well, first 100 days is key, too. Right? Yeah,
Denny was talking about how you've got a short amount of time before your sort of hype fades. And do you agree with me that the first 100 days is where it's at?
Totally. And that's why Gianforte is doing all the things he's doing about taxes and talking about it, because he wants to get going. The legislature starts January 1 of the new year, and so they got to rock and roll from then. So if you waste this time between the election and the first day of the session and then waste the first 100 days, well, that's already past the Montana legislature gone, and the Montana legislature has to work with Congress on some things to try and get their laws to meld with them, whether it's trying to backfill where the money is being cut in Washington, and they're going to have to do something at the legislature because they only meet 90 days every other year. So there's this symbiosis, this connection that has to be made. Yeah. You cannot waste the interim between the election to the first of the year, and you cannot waste the first 100 years of your term when you're done. Because you only get 4 years.
And that's why I was pleased to see 2 days after the election, Tim Sheehy just was, and this is an Navy SEAL, a Bronze Star for Valor, Purple Heart veteran who survived actual war, but he survived probably the fight of his life, frankly, in this election over the last year or plus, and $175 million spent against him, and yet here he is. He's if anybody deserved to take a few days off, it's Tim Sheehy, but you've immediately got to capitalize on this momentum, because it may seem like, you're a senator, you don't have to run for re-election for 6 years. No. He's talking about putting the rocket boosters on this agenda.
Phyllis Burns was upset with me because when Conrad Burns won in 88, we loaded him up in the van that next day, and we drove around Montana thanking people. And everybody said, what are you doing here? You won the election yesterday. And Conrad said, I just wanted to come back out in the country around Montana and thank you for what you did. And, oh, by the way, I've got Jack Ramirez going to be my chief of staff in Washington. Denny Reber is going to be my state director. I want to introduce you to these guys. And Conrad knew it.
Got to work.
And Phyllis said, oh, okay, I get it. Because you don't wait 6 years. You don't wait 4 years. You start the job on day one that you were elected.
What I've always thought is if I was ever going to run for the state legislature, for example, what I would want to do is actually have a bunch of bills written even before the election, right? And there's a whole bunch of bills I could name off the top of my head. Frankly, I'd rewrite the entire Montana code if I could. Ideally you would have, and I know that Trump and Senator Sheehy are working on all that. So obviously, Gianforte is putting out all sorts of cool, property tax decreases, income tax decreases, really good stuff coming out.
Laying out his budget already. What about, this was the idea, it just came to mind. What about we do another Montana Constitutional Convention, just like they did in the 70s?
No.
So as bad as some of the provisions get abused right now, don't mess with it. Is that your point, Denny?
The problem is that we should not have changed our Constitution
in the first place.
And my dad was in the legislature tried to keep it from happening.
Yeah.
Lost it by one vote with a Republican senator from eastern Montana voting for the new Constitution. And it has created a lot of problems.
But I was going to say, David Noble, you could run that Constitutional Convention.
Rewrite the Constitution?
As long as it's limited.
Yeah.
I support a Constitutional Convention for a balanced budget. Bingo.
There we go. We're too busy talking during the break here. I almost forgot to come back after the show was back on here.
you always tell me if you're not back, just hit the button and start talking.
Ready to rock and roll.
I was. I even hit the button.
One other point that I wanted to make, and it ties in with what Tim and Billings said and what Congressman Denny Reberg said. Hey, by the way, for those of you just joining us, this is really cool. So David Noble's going to be busy in a couple of weeks, the week after Thanksgiving, with his day job. So Congressman Denny Reberg, I'm taking a few days off. Congressman Denny Reberg is going to be your guest host for 4 days of shows. That's going to be a ton of fun.
What I thought was cool about it, Aaron, is here we are in 2024 with the great David Noble in the house and former Congressman Denny Reberg.
That's right.
But check this out. I was in college in Missoula in 2006, and I volunteered for Congressman Reberg's campaign in 2006 and drove around the state putting up Denny Reberg signs in 2006.
And get a load of this. The best young Republicans we had in Montana in 2006 was at the University of Montana.
It was
outstanding.
Crazy.
They were great. And they're in places of importance now.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody on election night, we were talking about some election night moments. I mentioned bringing out, hey, where's the broom closet at the Armory? Because it was reminiscent of 2000, the 2000 elections when the GOP sweep was then. But you look at these guys, Will Self,
Chief of Staff for the Attorney General.
Evan Wilson, Carly Mr. Hill, Numbers. Chris Shipp.
Yep. Dan Stusek on the District Dan Commission.
Dan Stusek, my wife Jessica, who worked for Denny. Well, she was like pregnant. I'm overseas, and I'll tell you what, Denny showed such incredible support for awesome. A military spouse while I was
Evan
deployed.
Worked for me as well. Well, yeah. Everybody you named worked for me at one time. So, and they're all making money, and
these
I'm retired.
Were, these were our fellow college friends who have been in the fight for the last 20 years to retake Montana, get Montana going in the right direction.
And we did.
You know? Well, and I think that ties into what we were talking about earlier, because here you have a bunch of 30s and 40-year-olds now take sort of moving up in the conservative movement, and you're seeing Donald Trump put in place a bunch of 40-year-olds in their 40s into his cabinet and stuff. And I was thinking, like, okay, if you want to talk about optimism for the future of the country, don't we need to look at the youngest of our generations, the really, really young kids mm-hmm. out there?
That's right.
And I think that the younger generation is pushing back against this woke ideology because it really is tough to be a youngster these days in this society with everything we've got going on.
That's what I did my show the day after the election from the Rockin' R Bar, and a couple of the bartenders were there, and they said off air, they're like, hey, these new kids, he's like, yeah, maybe these millennials, maybe the 25 to 30, low 30s crowd, yeah, those guys went a little woke, they went pretty low. He said, but these newer young kids right now that are in college right now and younger, these guys are fired up. They had to put up with the COVID crap. They put up with all this transgender crap.
Right.
And so there is a pushback. There is a wave among young people going in the other direction, I think, which is the bright side.
I think I'll wear one of my Rockin' R Bar hats.
I was wearing mine that day.
They
I had
were
mine
so
on.
Good to me over the years. They're just good people.
Mike Hope, and he's got a great crew there.
I'm just glad they didn't shut down for COVID.
They had to fight for that.
Well, they...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I really like this line of, okay, you know, what do they say about a good coach, good basketball coach, a good football coach? When the team is up and they're on a high, you got to bring them back down. You got to bring them back down to earth. And when the team is down low and they're feeling defeated, you got to lift them up. You got to raise them up. Yeah, our team's on a high right now, David. And so I like the fact that Denny and Tim and Billings are saying, okay, guys, whoa, let's look back on history now. And that's one thing I wanted to say. You know, this could kind of be our woke update of the week. Here you have a congressman who, you know, identifies as a woman wanting to go into the women's bathrooms in Congress. And the members of Congress are standing up and say, no, Nancy Mace is a rape survivor. She deserves to have a safe space in Congress, right, as every other woman does. And so they're standing up and saying no. And so a lot of us are saying, okay, look, this DEI agenda is dead. This woke agenda is dead. But they will try to resuscitate it. Why is Jen Psaki doubling down on this
stuff?
They're
already doubling down on a lot of this stuff.
Zoe Zephyr doesn't care about the election results. Zoe Zephyr doesn't care that the Democrats just got their arses handed to them in Montana. Because you know what Zoe Zephyr is going to be doing along with all these other radical transgender advocates? They're going to be targeting your kids. They're going to be targeting the younger generations. So while everybody else is out here celebrating about how DEI is dead and the woke agenda is dead, they're going to be out there targeting and recruiting the next generations, and they're still going to be doubling down and doing it.
That's a great point. You know, one thing I think that's going to do a lot of basically make a lot of progress on that front is the fact that Donald Trump has put up so many nominees that the establishment, the Democrats hate, that it's not just Matt Gaetz. They're not mad about just Matt Gaetz. They're mad about Hegseth. They're mad about all the other appointments too. So it's like at some point it's like we've got to get some of them confirmed. You can't reject – I mean even the Democrats admit the president has the right – to have his own cabinet and his own people there. So when Donald Trump puts up an entire cabinet of people that absolutely caused the left to light their hair on fire and blast into orbit, I think that's good news. I think that's optimistic.
Yeah, 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to call in and help us school up Denny Reberg on how to run the phone lines here for when he's filling in a couple of weeks.
And I just want to remind people that the Democrats are still in control of the Senate in Washington, D.C. So when somebody dumps on Daines for not being there and to the best of his ability he tried to get back there, in many cases, his vote does not matter right now. It will matter on January 3rd when the Republicans take control. But I served in a Congress where the Democrats had control of the Senate. I was the Congress chairman of an appropriations subcommittee in the House. I couldn't get anything through the Senate because unless you had the Senate, they're co-equal and they actually have a lot of power. And so it's frustrating right now to not to be able to accomplish what was voted on in November. But right. Just keep in mind, it isn't going to happen until January 3rd. That's when the fire really hits that frying pan and we can get some things done.
Well, not even just like not being able to accomplish it until they actually take office. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, which is it always seems to me that it's during these lame duck sessions of Congress and then the lame duck president where they always will try to pass some huge omnibus or CR or some major policy thing.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that sense, or is that wrong?
Yes and no. The only bill that has to pass is the appropriations bill. That's why I got on the appropriations committee. All the other stuff is policy. It's called authorization. So resources isn't going to get anything done. Transportation is not going to get anything done, but the budget has to pass. But they do a continuing resolution. So we were in the minority in 2010. We won the majority. But we didn't take power until January 3rd. So as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, I couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything in the Senate. And so I didn't even deal with the last year's budget, which was supposed to be in place on October 1st of the prior year, until January 3rd of the next year, of 2011. I dealt with the budget after January 3rd. I didn't get a budget through until February of 2011. That was supposed to be done in October of 2010.
And why is it such a mess like that?
Well, because there's such a difference in philosophy between the Democrats in spending and the Republicans in spending. And thank goodness we had the ability to hold off that budget, because one of the things we wanted to do was try and defund much of Obamacare. I was never able to accomplish it. It was under my authority. And I could do it in the House, but I couldn't do it because the Democrats controlled the Senate.
Right.
So I had to try and get along with Harkin from Iowa, who was chairman of the Labor Age Appropriations. I was chairman of the House Appropriations. And so I always had to work with the Democrat senator to try and get anything done. So it really does matter who's in the majority and who's in the minority.
No matter how slim that majority might be.
Well, yeah. And keep in mind, we don't have a filibuster-proof Senate either. While we're jumping up and down saying, hey, we got 53, well, that ain't 60.
And what's amazing about these Democrat senators is they will not vote for a single spending cut.
Right.
I remember Senator John Tester openly said, I will not vote for any spending cuts, period. I'm like, how is that's crazy. It really is crazy.
Well, I'll guarantee you can't outspend the Democrats in some arenas, some areas. It's impossible. I'll say, I'll give you $100 million. They say, well, we want $150. Okay, I'll give you $150 million. Well, we really meant we wanted $200 million. So they always get you voting negative on their increases. So if you try and match them, they always say no. So why bother?
David, wouldn't it be nice to be talking about millions again instead of billions and trillions like we have to talk about now?
Well, my budget, my subcommittee was $845 billion a year that I controlled as chairman. $845. I had Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, Obamacare. I had Pell Grants, Department of Education, Department of Labor. That was under my authority. And I'm frustrated. How do you make government right size work when you have a Democrat Senate that stops you from doing that? That's right. What I was confronted with.
Yeah, David Noble, we could talk more woke updates of the week and more. Actually, Denny, we got a caller on the phone lines. Why don't you cue him up there? Yeah, double tap that one. There you go. And turn it on. Oh, other button. The phone one, that one. See the one with the phone on
it. Got it.
He was in Congress, so, you know, as long as he knew whether to press the green button or the red button.
I had staff.
Yeah.
I tell people, actually, when I got back and quit Congress, I had to learn how to sign my name again. I'd forgotten how to sign my name.
We've got staff, too. I've got a Mondakistan bureau chief in Savage, Montana. Tim and Savage is on the phone lines right now. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, good morning, guys. Excellent show. Hate to even disrupt you by calling in, but I got to disagree with something Nancy said in the last hour. You know, she's kind of pushing back against Matt Gaetz and said his behavior has been unprofessional. Well, you know, I think that's exactly what Trump needs right now. He is intentionally choosing disruptors. He needs people to get in it. Because like what you guys have been talking about, time is short. We got 100 days. We got 2 years. He's got to get stuff done quickly. And I think David made an allusion to this. I mean, the bureaucracy is huge. It's going to take so much to overcome that. And Tim from Billings made a comment about Newton's laws. And, yeah, trying to overcome that level of bureaucracy, and that is going to take some major disruptors. And I'm not about comparing DJT to Jesus Christ, but, you know, it was probably unprofessional when the man went in and started overturning tables in the temple. But Jesus needed to be a disruptor and make a point.
No, and he said Trump some other offensive things like
disruptors.
And then he said some other offensive things like, hey, go therefore and don't do that ever again, by the way. He didn't say, you know what, I know you keep doing that thing exactly. That I don't like, but you know what, just keep doing that thing. Great phone call there from Tim in Savage. David Noble, your thoughts?
I agree with it. I say let's go full steam ahead. I agree with the call. Let's go. Get it done. Let's support Trump.
All right. Let's see.
Let me say one other thing, Aaron. Let me just say this. Donald Trump's appointments to the cabinet have exceeded my wildest hopes and dreams and expectations. I was pleasantly surprised, very happily surprised. I didn't even think Trump would go this big on cabinet picks. I am so happy about it.
So as a lawyer, you will appreciate. Did you see The View had to issue a statement?
Yes, the legal note. they get done defaming and slandering Matt Gaetz, and then at the end of the segment, like, we have a legal note.
Apparently, our legal team is telling us we have to share something on the air. Sonny was not too pleased to have to do this with all the allegations. Allegations against Matt Gaetz.
Sonny, you have a legal note.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi. Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations, calling the claims, quote, invented, and saying in a statement to ABC News that this false smear following a 3-year criminal investigation should be viewed with great skepticism, that DOJ investigation was closed with no charges being brought. We'll be right back.
Time to go to a break. Hysterical.
I think you didn't cut it off in time, right?
Yeah.
I assume that little note there is so that they can have some kind of a defense when they get sued by Matt Gaetz for defamation.
Because hasn't he sued like a couple of other outlets already? Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, but yeah. Yeah, hey, we're going to run with all these lies. Oh, we got an important note from our legal team here. All right, and then they ran to break. Just like us, right now.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only had to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats have learned nothing from their 2024 defeat, and guess who is favored to run in 2028? I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Kamala was a horrible candidate in 2020. She didn't even make it to 2020 before dropping out of the Democratic primary. She was an even worse candidate in 2024, and the exit polls second that notion. So why then would Democrats be foolish enough to run her in 2028? Well, according to a survey by Echelon Insights, Kamala Harris is the top choice of Democrat voters in 2028, and she is way ahead of other party favorites like Gavin Newsom, Josh Shapiro, and Pete Buttigieg. This survey asked Democrat-leaning subset of 1,010 voters which politician they would vote vote for if the party primary was held today, and a staggering 41% of respondents selected Kamala. Newsom was the closest second with only 8% of the vote. Would the Democratic Party really be dumb enough to run this failed experiment a third time? Well, as a Republican, I admit I selfishly hope they do. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Military matters.
A study from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows veteran employment after the military lags behind similar non-veterans. But some vets are finding success in careers in the oil and gas industry. Army veteran Joshua McCaslin says his time in the military prepared him for the high-pressure work at Deep Well Services as an operator.
You could come out of the military, go right into an oil and gas job, and pretty much feel right at home.
The company aims to grow veteran employment to 10% of the company. Here's John Sabo, Senior Vice President for Deep Well Services.
The veterans that we've been able to hire throughout the last decade have been, you know, able to rise and be very successful with the company, both in the field and develop into larger positions within our office and leadership team.
Deep Well Services offers on-the-job training, allowing the company to welcome military veterans regardless of experience in the energy industry. With Military Matters, I'm Lydia Hu, Fox Business.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. .gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I just want to know how good the beef tastes, how good the marbling is on that cut of beef. David Noble, man, I'm glad I remembered to come back to this topic. So you were busy yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour. You didn't get a chance to listen in on the guest. So we had Dr. Frank Mittlerner. He is a professor and air quality specialist in cooperative extension in the Department of Animal Science at UC Davis. He believes he believes in the whole man-made global warming, climate changey thing. He believes that we should try to lower our greenhouse gas emissions, but nonetheless is attacked by the New York Times because he defends American agriculture. And he says, actually, American agriculture is incredibly efficient. And if you are somebody who is concerned about the hopey changey climate changey thing, then you should be thanking American agriculture. So he made the point let me go to our Montana Talks website here. In America, we produce 18% of all beef globally here in the United States. And we do that with 6% of the global beef herd. So that shows how much more efficient we are. So in other words, you want a lower carbon footprint from agriculture? That's what American agriculture does. So that was one of the points he made.
That's a great point. And frankly, it's the same thing with drilling for oil and gas, because we are the most efficient and environmentally friendly drillers of oil and gas. And so when you shut down American oil and gas drilling, it goes and it gets drilled somewhere else for a lot more damage to the environment. But I find that hilarious that this guy is even a man-made global warming believer, and yet just because he's not extreme enough, he'll still get attacked. And they do that all the time with these scientists. Like, if you're a scientist, you may even come out and say, look, I believe in man-made global warming. I support man-made global warming. It's real. It's happening. We should. But, you know, it's not an emergency or a catastrophe right now, and maybe we should try to adapt to it. Oh, you say that, you're blackballed. Not to mention some scientists coming and saying, actually, it's actually the sun that controls the Earth's temperature.
By the way, funny sidebar, if David Noble ever did run for office, there'd be some phony virtue signaling Republican out there that would run an attack ad against him, and they would play the audio that he just used where he was saying this is what they say, that, but they would cut up in his words saying, I believe in this and I believe in that. They'd be like, David Noble is a climate alarmist.
I don't think David would run anyhow because it costs $25 to sign up to run for the legislature.
Oh, that's,
and that's
too
way
much.
Too much
that's
for an attorney.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, honestly, it's difficult to run for public office as a regular working stiff.
Especially really the legislature.
No, but you're a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah.
not talking about a working stiff.
I'm
We're talking
lawyer.
About a lawyer.
He's a working stiff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The other point here that he said, now this is where, you know, he believes that if you want to target your customers, if you have a customer who is demanding to know what you're doing to lower your carbon footprint, as absurd as that sounds, right? Because, like I said, I just want to know how good the marbling is and how good the beef tastes. But he says you can reduce methane emissions from animal agriculture via a few different things: feeding, breeding, and manure management. Now, that may sound like a bunch of crap to some people out there, but if you want to do that sort of thing to target your customers, he says there are ways you can actually breed a lower emitting cow.
Wouldn't it be amazing if RFK Jr. comes in and says, actually, red meat is good for you. Actually, we should be eating more beef. And then the Trump administration comes in and says, yeah, we're not going to try to kill all the cows like they did in Europe to a lot of ranchers in Europe that had their cow herds killed by the government.
Danny, you're pretty excited about RFK Jr., huh?
I am. I am indeed. And, you know, I agree with him in a lot of things that he says. He makes a lot of sense. He is disruptive. That's good. And we're going to have an open dialogue. He's not going to win everything he wants, but he's going to win a lot. And a lot of it makes sense. Look how healthy we all look.
Especially the processed food stuff. When he starts talking about processed foods, he's
yellow dyes and some of the cereals and such.
David Noble, great to see you as always. Denny, do you want to stick around?
I will stick around.
Who's
going to
stick around? Okay, great.
I haven't got it all done yet.
Thank you to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, thanks. Great callers this hour of the show as well. All right, Denny will be sticking around with us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, taking your calls and more.
I'm Eben Brown. What's going to be different for firearms owners and Second Amendment rights going forward with a new Trump administration? Could be a number of things. The former and future President Trump, since securing his presidential win, is now signaling he will push for nationwide reciprocity of firearms licenses. That could mean each state would need to honor, in some way, permits issued by other states. Like driver licenses, sort of. A number of states already have reciprocity agreements, though they require permit holders from one state to adhere to the laws of the state they currently find themselves. But yes, it could ultimately mean one day one could carry in New York City with a Florida-issued concealed weapon or firearm license. One would expect New York State and or city to file suit over such a thing. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.